Thank you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show hosts and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
It's Haunted Playground right here on the Live Paranormal channel. We're at liveparanormal.com, hauntedplayground.com. I'm your host, Sheena Metal. I'm a psychic medium. I'm an interfaith minister. I'm a 26-year talk radio host, and I'm at SheenaMetalSpiritual.com for all your spiritual and paranormal needs. Haunted Playground is a show I started in 2010. We brought it here at the beginning of this year after it was a COVID casualty to the Live Paranormal Network. I'm so excited to be here on this fantastic syndicated platform with syndicates like iHeartRadio and Google Podcasts and Stitcher and iTunes. Such a joy to be a part of this wonderful group of people who think outside the box, as do I. Every week on the show, I gather who I believe to be the brightest and most beautiful minds in the paranormal and spiritual communities, and we talk about everything outside of the three dimensions, things that go bump in the night, monsters in your backyard, is there life on other planets, have you seen a ghost? Do you believe that there is life after death? All of these things follow within the realm of what is happening here every Wednesday at 6 o'clock Pacific time on Haunted Playground. And my guest today is no exception. He was just at my Raising the Vibration show a few weeks ago, and he said, oh, I thought this was Haunted Playground. I got stories. So I consider that a challenge to be invited back to do this show. He's been a guest on pretty much every radio show I've had in the last however many years, and it's an honor to have him here as part of the show today, and an honor always to spend some time on the air with him. Please welcome to Haunted Playground the wonderful Johnny Whitaker. Hello, my friend. How are you?
I am doing wonderful. How are you?
I am absolutely amazing. It's fantastic to hear your voice.
Well, it's wonderful hearing you and listening, and isn't this week super, the government is actually recognizing that there are unidentified flying phenomena. I forget what it is,
is that
they're calling them.
Yes.
And
uh-huh.
that
yes. Uh-huh.
Every day for the last 2 years out near Quantico or wherever it is in Virginia, they have been having sightings in areas that are not supposed to be moved into.
Mm-hmm.
But they are. They are here.
When are they going to show us that big old hangar in Area 51? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, I mean, that's... I've been waiting, and well, yeah, that's supposed to be very interesting, and some people were supposed to make a rush on it this last summer, but then COVID hit, and the people gave up or whatever. But no, I think that sooner than later we will be opening up all of that information. But I've known,
I agree,
and I believe in all of this stuff because I have had actual personal experiences with most all of them.
Wow. Okay. Okay. So let's start with off-worlders. Since we're talking about the UFO community first, why don't we start there? What experiences have you had in the extraterrestrial world?
Well, in my own personal belief is, I mean, I am Mormon by birth, and then a rebaptized Mormon by choice. And in my search for life and meaning, and in my search for more spirituality, in my opinion, when we feel of spirit, and when spirit communicates to spirit, it doesn't come from thin air. It doesn't come from the Aspers. I believe that God, however you might conceive God, and Mormons, we believe that God is on a planet and that it takes 1,000 years for the planet of God to revolve around its sun, and we hear about 1,000 days on earth is a day in heaven, and so that's where I get some of my belief, but that place, wherever it is, and Brigham Young was told that he found that it was near to a planet called Kolob, K-O-L-O-B. Anyway, I believe that any time we feel of spirit, which is when we get those tingly feelings.
Sure, and your solar plexus chakra, right? Right, your solar, yeah.
All of that, and when you feel like you're ready to cry because you're so full of love or compassion, those are feelings that are coming from God, and that those feelings from God are coming through Him from His planet, wherever He is. And so it is an extraterrestrial feeling that we are getting.
Mm-hmm.
And as we get, I was just teaching a class in Sunday school 2 weeks ago, that in some Christian religions or other belief systems as well, they have the gift of tongues, and where people will be given the spirit, and they, you know, start to shake and rattle and roll and fall on the floor and start, you know, I'm not speaking anything ill or negative about those beliefs or feelings, but in my opinion, everything that God does has a purpose. It's not just for show, as is with when somebody has a is speaking in tongues. The Bible tells us that if and some other scripture that when someone is speaking in tongues, if there is no translation of what that language or tongue is, then it's for the benefit of that speaker and that speaker only that they can feel of it, but how much greater it is when there is a translation of what that is, if it is truly coming from God. And so, you know, so much better shall it be if there is a translation of what that speaker has said, so that all
Absolutely.
Who are in the house may be edified. So
absolutely. Dad, do you believe in that?
Anyway,
do you believe spirit moves through people? John, do you believe that spirit moves through people and that when they are speaking in tongues, they're actually translating messages from spirit?
I believe so, as long as there is that they know what that translation is, or there is someone to translate. Or
right.
else it's just edification for that individual, and they, I
sure.
guess, in a trance or in their spiritual situation, understand what God is trying to communicate to them. But in my Sunday school class,
Absolutely.
One of the things that we were talking about is that when people are receiving these manifestations, God is not a God of confusion, but a God of order. And so I cannot receive manifestations for you because, number one, we're not married yet. No. but, you know, we are not, you are not my charge, nor am I your charge. But for those who, like my sister, my younger sister, was having just some situations, feeling that I needed to speak with her and warn her of some actions that might be happening, and that as her brother, I need to tell her that I love her, and that in spiritual guidance, I want her to know that I love her, and these are the things that I'm concerned about. And because I am her brother, because I am in that line of organization, being her older brother, you know, we can, I mean, as your friend, I might be able to receive revelation or instruction for you if I ask for it, but not necessarily is Bill down the street going to get information. Because God is a God of order, not, you know, the sometimes somebody might get into that that frequency, and such as you do for your clients and your friends and
yeah.
family and people,
yeah.
as
yeah.
you, you know, they ask you for information, and then sometimes you're able to get that information and
sure.
give back what your translation of those signs and symbols may be.
And sometimes I don't even ask for the information. Sometimes I'm not even with that client, and suddenly messages come for me. It's sort of like once that channel has been open and the messages
oh, absolutely.
Come through it for a certain person, then sometimes they just come. I have a client I haven't seen in a year, and all of a sudden something will show up and a message will come for them. It happens, and I think it's that the spirit gets used to using you in that instance. Do you know what I mean? It's sort of like if I was your lawyer, but I hadn't been your lawyer for 10 years, but people knew I was your lawyer, and there was a legal thing, they might call me. You know what I mean?
It, exactly.
It's people just,
no.
spirit knows you as the conduit of messages, and I always say, you
as
know,
the advocate.
It's really spirit show. Right. It's all about spirit and you. I'm really just the pipeline the messages run between. And because I think because I've been a talk radio host for so long, it sort of set me up to be a message deliverer, because that's what this is, right? The show is about you and the audience listening to you. You're my guest. And I'm just here to just translate the messages and make sure they're having a more fun, easier, more expansive and enlightened experience with you. That's really what it's about.
Yeah, beautiful.
So I find my work as a psychic and my work as a radio host are really not all that different.
Uh-huh. No, and it's interesting that with the onset of radio, television, internet, all of these things which... It's all energy.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
Energy can neither be created nor destroyed. Energy can
right.
only be moved. And that energy that is received by us for others, for their benefit, then, you know, it's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a beautiful thing.
And myself as a counselor, you know, I'm a drug and alcohol counselor, currently a DUI instructor and counselor. And I just finished a class, which was on goal making. And I was talking about, making SMART goals, which are specific, measurable, achievable. I forget what the R is. Reasonable and time specific. And then as my students were sharing with me their goals, I said, I'm going to be a better person. That's BS. If you're going to make a goal, it is, I will be a better person by doing X, Y, and Z. And I will be a better person by, you know, it's just not, at least in my understanding of specificity in goal making, you don't just say, I'm going to be better. Yes, I'm going to work on being better. And these are the things that I need to work on for me to be a better listener, a better communicator, a better friend, all of those kinds of things. And it was just kind of fun today in class as my students were giving me their goals, and I was able to work with them and helping to tweak their goals so that they were better aligned with what, you know, number one, the class was, and number two, so that they could be more, so that I, as their guide, at least for 3, 6, 9, or 12 months, can help and guide them through this transitionary period in their life. But so all of those things come from a higher power, and I believe that higher power is an actual being, and that actual being is on another planet.
Okay, so let me ask you something. About so many people, probably not all, but many people in your classes right now are people who are probably newly sober, right?
Well, some of them are newly sober. Most of them, they're required to stay sober for a minimum of 90 days while they're with us. And
okay, so they're,
some of them just
way,
got, but yeah. They're learning how to live without a possible crutch.
Right, and not only a crutch, right, but drugs and alcohol, sugar, any addiction, right, it's a blanket. And one of the things that it blankets is your gifts, right? It blankens your connection to spirit. It dullens it. It deadens it. And when you are newly sober, even if you're just planning to temporarily be sober, when you have been sober for 10, 30, 90 days, it's kind of like, in some ways, like somebody just put some prescription glasses on your brain, right? And everything feels, you know, brighter and sharper and more intense because you're suddenly getting all these messages. You're feeling everything empathically. You're tapping into all the stuff that we as humans are supposed to, in our life, discover and tap into. But when you're addicted, the substance or whatever the addiction is, it blankets that, right? It throws a rug over your gift.
Oh, absolutely. And about 3 years ago, and this is just in the time that I was kind of transitioning from deciding whether or not I was going to become a full-fledged Mormon again or not, I was going through some major depression, and I went to the doctor, and the doctor had asked me, you know, am I feeling this more than this number of times a week, and et cetera, et cetera. And he said, John, you have depression. I said, nah, I don't have depression. But he said, well, according to what you've written here, you do. And I would suggest that you take this medication to help you. And when I was singing in church, when we could sing in church, and especially if I was doing any solos, especially at that point, I felt spiritual, where sometimes it was hard for me to finish a spiritual song without getting verklempt. But yeah. Once I started taking this medication, I didn't feel spirit as strongly.
Yes.
Or it took more of the spirit to give me those impulses or that, you know, and I realized that it is definitely, and there's nothing wrong with the medication that I was given by a doctor to take that medication as prescribed, no more, and possibly less if I feel that I don't need it, and that's what I've been doing. I've recognized that spirit doesn't go through that medication as easily as when you're clean, or, I mean, I'm still clean. I don't look at anything because I'm taking a mild antidepressant that I am have relapsed.
Of course.
By
course,
no means.
Of course.
And if anybody thinks that, then let them be a doctor and show me their medical license, and I'll discuss it with them. But it is interesting how it does interrupt that spiritual connection. And when we take more alcohol... And we become of a different spirit. That's why they call alcohol spirit. Because we can come from a different attitude. We are in the spirit.
Well, and you know, for those of us in the paranormal community and the psychic community, I deal with this all the time. When you are drinking too much, drugging too much, making yourself vulnerable and blocking that connection to spirit, that's when you make yourself vulnerable to negativity, right? You allow negative energy to come, sometimes actually enter your body, but in a lesser case, you allow that energy to sort of get into your spiritual periphery of your spirit, of your soul. Because, you know, we have a spiritual immune system as well. And in order to, what do people go, I want to go investigate this haunted house. And I'm like, look, if you're sick physically, if you're grieving, if you're emotionally off balance, don't go into a place, don't even be around people who are negative. Because you become susceptible to that, right? The same way that if you were immune compromised, you wouldn't go hang out with a bunch of people with COVID. It's the same thing. It's just spiritual instead of physical.
Oh, absolutely. But everything that is physical was created spiritually first.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, your spiritual immune system is the most important one. Absolutely.
And that's what we, you know, I mean, I indulge in sugar, which I should not, because number one, I'm diabetic, and number two, you know, I am overweight, but, you know,
me too.
Except for that, you know, I mean, nobody's perfect, and I don't believe that spirit wants us to be absolutely perfect, but working on perfection, you know.
Absolutely. Good. Yes. Nice way to put that. Yes.
But anyway, so yes, I do believe that there are many different worlds without end. Even Jesus Christ himself said on the Mount of with the Beatitudes, other sheep I have that are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. And the Mormons believe that he was speaking about the native peoples of the Western Hemisphere, and that he went to visit them. And in the Book of Mormon, there is the actual information which Jesus gave to those people, which was actually his Sermon on the Mount of Beatitudes, and which he gave again. And there, he said, and there are yet others sheep that I have that are not of this fold, to them also I must go. So, you know, how many worlds or whatever, if you are, you know, Judeo-Christian or Christian, believe that, you know, this is not the end all. This little orb that we call Earth, when there are billions of suns in the cosmos.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Absolutely. Now, what about beings not of this Earth? What about, but on the Earth? What about Bigfoot, Loch Ness Monster? Where do you stand on that stuff?
Well, Loch Ness is very, very deep, from what I understand. I've not had the chance of being there, and I've never scuba dived down there to know how deep it is. But from my understanding, that Nessie is a, you know, some kind of a or more than one. And that their nests or their, you know, I don't necessarily believe in the center Earth theory that, you know, there's this utopia of whatever in the center of the Earth. But, I mean, hey, that could be true. But wherever or whatever that is, I have no experience. But those who have had, I would never say that they are wrong for believing that. As far as Bigfoot goes, I personally have had strong experiences, and eye-to-eye personal contact with proof that a bipedal hominid walked past an area that I came right after the rain. Well, I'll tell you just the story. About 15 years ago, I was asked to work with a friend of mine up in Northern California, Joel Fox, who was doing a documentary on Bigfoot. And he asked if I would come to Oregon and do the interviews of the different people and, you know, just be a producer and support of him directing whatever was going on. I said, I'd love to. So for about a week and a half, I was in, at the foot of Mount Hood. And we stayed in the home of a former, I forget his name right now, but he was a former member, still in the Army Reserve, and that he had been hiking with a group of men through the areas there in Oregon at the foot of Mount Hood, or around there anyway, and he looked off to his right, and he saw four beings that, from his point of view, and, you know, and he looked at them through the binoculars that they had that were pretty strong. But anyway, there was a male, a female, and two young adults or young beings that were walking along this ridge, and it was, you know, I don't know, about just before dusk. Anyway, I did not see that with my own eyes, but for him to have, you know, be either imagination or very specific information, and that as a you know, member of our armed forces, I mean, he wasn't loony or, you know, weird by any normal standards, and he and others in the group that he was in, and so we were interviewing him and some other people. We even went up to Washington State and interviewed a couple of the writers of some important Bigfoot books. I forget their names. I'd have to I was planning to call Joel yesterday before we were going to talk earlier, but anyway, it didn't work out. But one of the gentlemen who we were also interviewing, I'm going through a tunnel, unfortunately, right now. So I will continue talking and let me know if we
fine.
Get cut
no,
off.
You're loud and clear.
Okay.
Loud and clear, baby.
Anyway. So one of the gentlemen, you know, because we had all come there, and those that were lived nearby, we were all going to kind of do a lot of this work and interviewing together, but I was the main interviewer. And one of the guys who basically every night, bam, and he heats it with a little, burner stove kind of a thing. You know, the blue heat. And anyway,
like a sterno pot?
Sterno, that's it.
Oh.
And he takes a little sterno pack, and then he puts the spam can on top of that and cooks it. He goes there about 8, 9 o'clock at night and puts it off in about 10 different places in areas where he has seen and made casts of Bigfoot footprint. Anyway, and so he asked me if I wanted to go with him in the morning to pick up and see what. I said, sure, and I'll bring the camera along. The director wasn't too keen on it because we had to get up at 3:30 in the morning so that we could go up into the mountains and then up through some. Anyway, and as the sun started coming up, we are driving along a dirt path, but one that he's familiar with, and it had just rained that night. But we went to the first area where he had the sterno and spam, and he said, look, these are wolf prints, these are bear paw prints, these are, and showed me what the different prints that we could see in the mud that was there, And, you know, here you go here you go there. And showing me all the different kind of animal prints. And they were all, you know, quadrupedal animals. And you could see the front and the hind legs. And he was kind of introducing me to, you know, the footprint information. And we went to another one and we saw some bigger footprints, but, you know, and he explained, well, that's a bear and, you know, that's a wolf or, you know, that's a fox. And anyway, we went to all five of them and, you know, nothing too interesting. But the night before, we had a big campfire out where we were staying, and I made the sound, because I like to make sounds and just, you know, oh, and I don't know if it was Bigfoot or something like that, but we got a couple of responses. And the guy said that they'd never heard that response before. Now, we were not in an area where there's a whole lot of human being. I mean, we weren't in town. We were about 30 miles outside of town. And the next person that lived next to this man's residence was probably at least a couple of miles away. And anyway, so it was interesting because the other people, when they heard the response, we all kind of waited there. So, of course, I was all excited to see if near where we were going to see these bipedal hominids known as Bigfoot. Anyway, so that next morning, I see all the areas that we're in and that, you know, the different footprint. And I'm, you know, okay. And I was driving, but slowly, because it was kind of muddy, in his truck. He was driving, and I was just kind of looking at the different foods, which is kind of a, like an onion, kind of a plant, and that supposedly that's one of their favorite foods, is this type of an onion, but it doesn't look, it smells really awful, and one of the reasons that they get the smell of that skunk ape, and one of the reasons that they have that name. Anyway, so I'm sitting in the back, actually, behind the driver, but on the driver's side, looking out the window to my northwest, and I'm looking at the ground and just seeing if I can see any, you know, footprints or whatever, and I said, stop, wait a minute, says what? Something is strange over there. He says, okay, so we pull over. And we walked back. And have you been to Oregon before?
I have not, but I've been to Southern Washington, which is very similar, right?
Okay. Well, in many areas where the ground is full of moss and it is carpeted with moss and other kind of mossy stuff, greens that grow on top of the moss and on top of that, so that you don't have a lot of mud necessarily, but that you have moss, and then underneath the moss is the mud. And I saw where this moss had been pulled up and laid back. Or, I mean, it just looked weird. So we got out there, and my friend who was with me told me, John, don't walk up there near there because I want you to look at something. And I didn't see what it was, but, I mean, you have to see me do it in order to understand it. But I'll try to visually communicate what it was, that if it is a quadrupedal animal with claws, or they do not have a deposable thumb, so if
right.
they're going to pull something up, they would scratch at it, and once they get it scratched, then they would keep scratching at it until it pulls. Well, the moss
right.
in this area had been pulled up as though, if you've ever pulled on carpeting, how you can get a nice straight edge of that carpeting. And here we had this carpet of moss, but in order to grab the moss the way in which it was grabbed to pull it back, you needed to have a deposable thumb.
Right.
And the pullback was about, a foot and a half wide by about a foot and a half long, and this carpeting of moss had been pulled back that far, and on the one side, you could see a clear footprint of a humanoidal foot with, what do they call them, the finger or footprints with
right.
The fingerprint. I mean, you could see the, because it had just rained, it was a perfect print of a toe, first and second toe, I mean the big toe, and then the first and second toe, and that the creature or the, you know, being that had created that was putting a lot of pressure on the knee or on that foot, and the other foot, you could see just the heel that was in the mud because of the moss, but where there was mud and where they had pulled it up, there was easily seen a footprint, or at least one toe and two smaller toes that had been as though there was a lot of weight on that left foot to pull up, and then a right heel print, which also had the markings of a humanoidal heel, but size 18 or 19 if you were going to put a shoe on it, plus three times as wide as any foot that I have seen. But unfortunately, we did not bring up any plaster of Paris to make, because he said that he'd never seen, I forget what they call the rings that are around your fingerprint or your toe print. He'd never seen anything so clear before. But, you know, he usually always took with him, and he didn't this time. But we have it on videotape. Or I do, but I was all excited, and our audio went out because I was audio taping him explaining the different footprints to show us what was there. And but, you know, that to me is actual visual evidence of some being that was very large, that had deposable thumbs, and had big feet that made those impressions in the mud and had pulled back that moss.
That's fantastic.
Hello?
That is a fantastic story. I'm here. Can you hear me? Are you in
the
tunnel?
Yeah. No, I'm out.
You're out of the tunnel? Yeah, that's fantastic. That's why, you know, I don't know why people are so, I mean, you always scream giant squid, right? For years, that was just something Jules Verne made up. And then one day one came up in a fishing net. You know what I mean? This idea that
right.
we believe that nothing that we haven't seen and touched is real. It's interesting, considering most people believe in God, right? Most people, some don't, but most people believe in some kind of higher power. Yet people
exactly.
say, well, aliens can't be true. There's no Bigfoot, no Loch Ness Monster. There's no ghosts. It's strange because God is something that you can't tangibly touch and see, yet you believe in that. So I think it's just because society tells you you should believe in that, but society tells you you shouldn't believe in Bigfoot. Then I think most people just follow the herd, you know?
Yeah. But like I said, we will be finding out. And I mean, I hope they are friendlies, these unidentified flying phenomenon, that whatever is moving, you know, whatever actual being it is that is moving or that is controlling the actions of these craft are friendlies, and they're as interesting or interested in us as we are they.
Absolutely. Well, I think it's like with anything, right? I think some will be friendlies and some will be not friendlies. I mean, I think that's like the history of the world, right? Not everything is friendly. Certainly not everything is unfriendly.
Right. Well, and again, our United States government and the Department of, they're protecting us. We need to know as best we can how to protect ourselves in the case that whatever that is, you know, what can we do besides, you know, creating a bomb shelter and running into it, or, you
right.
know,
trying
to, you know, I would believe as a person of faith that my higher power that I consider God and his son, Jesus Christ, that would, and that being high to Kolob, that other little, not little, that large planet, wherever that may be, has a whole lot more power than the being and the instrument that is being floated around. And that, having faith in that higher power that we call God, that whatever that is, before it gets too bad or too negative, that, you know, we will be protected. Or, you know, it's the end of everything and our Lord and Savior is coming back, as Christians believe that to be.
Sure, sure. Well, I tend to think more universally that they also, these beings were also created by God, right? I mean, just because, God created us, I mean, God created nobody else. And as God has created human beings and or societies at times that were very malevolent and also some that were very benevolent, probably it will be the same
right.
for our off-world friends.
Yeah,
because
that's what
as
I hope
spirit
for.
Has given us, right, as spirit, John has given us free will, right? They have free will as well.
Yeah, which
so,
is the greatest gift that God could have given to us.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely.
Where we have to live 100%. On faith, we have to live on faith, and we get these small, gentle spiritual mercy that
right.
is spirit.
Right.
when Spirit gives us these small, gentle mercies where we say, oh, yes, oh, gosh, that is true. I believe that with every fiber of my being, because every fiber of my being is now titillated and being given this feeling that is overwhelmingly wonderful or overwhelmingly negative that I'm concerned about, and now, you know, I need to do something and go into action.
Right. Right. Yes, you're right. Yeah. It's fascinating to me, and fascinating to the idea of what will happen when that opens up, and what will happen when we suddenly someday realize we're not the only people in the world. It's a fascinating topic.
Oh, yeah.
And it's something I talk about on the show a lot, because we're so about human beings have to be this size and this weight and this shape and this, that, and your arms are this long and your legs are this long. You know, we're not a one-size-fits-all species, but when the off-worlders come and some are 16 feet tall and some are 3 inches, we're going to have to make some adjustments into what we think of a sentient being, an intellectual being as being, you know?
Oh, yeah. And
but that's a whole
I
other
think
topic
one
and
way...
a whole other show.
But one of the ways that we can learn is by being kind to our animal friends, especially those mascots, you know, our cats and dogs and whatever else we have as a pet, you know, hopefully not some tiger or lion that should not be taken out of its place of origin. Unless it was born in captivity, then it doesn't really know much other than that. But I mean, letting it live as much of its natural life as possible, as you know, some zoos and zoological societies try to do for them. But we can
absolutely
learn from them. And I mean, you look into a dog's eyes and you see that there is a sentient, caring being. And, you know, we need to get some more of those feelings that, you know, they have. The dogs that can smell COVID, you know.
Yes.
And that they are not as smart as we are, but their senses have been, you know, and dogs that can sense someone has cancer or whatever.
Yeah.
And just because of their super sensory perception.
Yes. Very true, my friend. You are wonderful. We're completely out of time. Let's do this again. Where can people find you online?
Oh, no problem. JohnnyWhitaker.com. You can also become a Twitaker at John O. Whitaker on Twitter. And actually, I'm going to be I'm preparing right now for a Zoom. I forgot exactly what it is that we're going to call it, but I'm going to be singing and acting and giving a like a cabaret show online as best we can, and more information will be coming.
I can't wait. And I think you also need to go get the URL JohnnyWhitakerBigfootHunter.com and put up your story. Thank you, my friend. I love and adore you. I always love you being here. You're the best in the world, and I didn't know
you
hunted Bigfoot. How did I not know that? The wonderful Johnny Whitaker, everybody, so great to have him here on the show. So great to be here on the show with him, and so great to be a part of this show here on Haunted Playground. Every Wednesday at 6 o'clock Pacific time, we're doing everything spiritual, paranormal, spooky, psychic. It's happening right here I'm your host, Sheena Metal. I'm at SheenaMetalSpiritual.com for all your spiritual and paranormal needs. And I am also at LiveParanormal.com. All of my shows there. I do 3 video shows, 2 radio shows for Live Paranormal. And I am also at HauntedPlayground.com for this show and tonight at 9 o'clock on the video channel, my companion show, Haunted Playground After Dark. Until I see you next time, seek peace, live in love, lead with kindness, embrace unity, always raise your vibration. Don't judge others. Listen when somebody tells you, I've had a paranormal experience, I've had a spiritual experience, I think God talked to me, I think I saw Bigfoot, I think I saw the Loch Ness Monster. Don't judge. You never know. There are more things in heaven and earth, my friends. And that's what we talk about here on Haunted Playground. I'm Sheena Metal. Please visit me at SheenaMetalSpiritual.com if you want to book a session or healing. Find out more about me. I've got a great crystal collection, fantastic crystals for sale, and all kinds of things going on. I'll see you next time right here on Haunted Playground on the Live Paranormal channel. Stay spooky, my friends. I'll see you soon. Love you all.